Bill Flores joins us. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good to be with you on News Talk 1620. By the way, congrats to the Aggies on that great come from behind in the tournament this weekend.
Yeah, that was really good, and they're playing close enough that a lot of people can get up to see them. So we're hoping that that goes well. I want to talk politics with you for just a minute.
Sure.
Mitch McConnell, who's the head of the Republican Party in the Senate, the Senate voted overwhelmingly Tuesday to put back some of the key authorities in the Patriot Act, and McConnell was standing against this. Can you get in his head and explain that to me?
Well, let me say this. It put back key authorities, but it also made huge changes to Section 215 of the Patriot Act. And so he was standing in the way of that, which I think the American grassroots has said, we don't like the government spying on us.
Right.
We want to have national security, but we want to maintain our constitutional rights. For the life of me, Scott, I have no earthly idea why he decided that the straight reauthorization of the Patriot Act was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the USA Freedom Act, which we passed the House overwhelmingly, I mean, life would have been a lot easier and a lot less embarrassing for him in the Senate over the course of the last 2 weeks if he'd have just brought up our bill, put it on the floor, and let it pass. But he decided he had to go through this silly game, and I don't think it was helpful for the American people or national security or him either. It was just silly to do that.
Well, and again, it's an important time. It's the Republicans have leadership in the Senate that these kind of things probably don't happen. It would not, at least from a political.
I don't know if he was trying to differentiate himself from the House or not, but it didn't work out well for him. And if it asked my advice, I said, just put ours on the floor and you'd be a hero because you're fixing the Patriot Act and move on down the road to something else important.
Sure. Bill Flores joining us. When we spoke last week, you were about to go speak in Austin. You spoke last Wednesday and basically talked about your stand on the Import-Export Bank. Explain just quickly what the Import-Export Bank is. People may have heard of it a little bit, but then your feelings on it, too.
Sure. The Export-Import Bank is an agency that was started about 80 years ago to try to improve our ability to export to Russia. And since then, as with all government agencies, its scope has expanded dramatically. And today it helps to provide export financing at the expense of the taxpayer to foreign buyers of products. The biggest beneficiaries of it are Boeing and GE. And so when Boeing goes to sell an aircraft and they're competing against Airbus, if they're trying to sell to, let's say, Qatar Airlines, for instance, then the taxpayers are helping to provide the financing to Boeing to sell to the Qatar Airlines. The problem with it is, well, there are multiple problems, but the problem is that Delta Airlines has to pay full price for a Boeing,
mm-hmm.
and they don't get any sort of special financing deal. So you're putting Delta at a disadvantage when they're trying to compete with Qatar Airlines. And so that's one of the issues that's a problem. Now, look, I'm a pro-free trade guy. I believe that we can have an export-powered economy. But at the same time, I think we need to be careful, how we use the taxpayers provided backstop for funding these things. The second thing, and this is actually more important to me, is the level of corruption inside the Ex-Im Bank. There have been 60-some-odd indictments handed down. We've got scores of years of jail terms for Ex-Im personnel and former Ex-Im personnel. We've got $250 million in fines that have been levied against these folks for just the way they've run the Ex-Im shop. It reminds me of Enron. I mean, I was working in downtown Houston the day that Enron failed across the street from their building, and I watched all the people pouring out of that building with a box of their career possessions being lined up and thrown into taxi cabs and sent home. Mm. And I look at Ex-Im, and it's one of the worst Enrons of the federal government. And so it should not be reauthorized. And so I've taken a personal position against it. The Republican Study Committee that I chair has taken a position against it. And we don't take many positions on things, but we've said this corrupt agency should not be reauthorized.
Now, what they do, is there some purpose to be held there in some other format?
Well, they do provide, a valuable service for exporters, but they're picking winners and losers, and particularly under the Obama administration. They've really gone the wrong direction. For instance, they won't finance coal projects around the world. but they will finance green projects. So they're going outside of their congressional, statutes that Congress designed for them to play in. We didn't tell them to pick winners and losers. We told them to finance exports when it was last authorized years ago. But the Obama administration has moved forward. Look, I voted to reauthorize XM twice. Once because XM was added as a rider to another must-pass piece of legislation. And then the second time was a standalone XM bill, but it had a bunch of reforms in it. And said, we want you XM, to implement all these reforms so that the taxpayers at lower risk than they are today. XM basically said, no, we're not going to do it. And so if they're not going to obey Congress, they don't deserve to continue living.
Makes sense. Bill Flores is joining us this morning. Everybody understands what's going on in the oil patch. We feel it here in Brazos County. We feel it all over Texas. we'd like to get that market expanded a little bit. What some listeners may not know is that there have been trade restrictions on exporting oil for decades. You are on the House Energy and Commerce Committee. There is now maybe some discussion about oil exports for the United States to go into other countries to help the oil industry? That's correct.
I'm part of a group that, again, this is another Republican Study Committee initiative. But Joe Barton from just up the road and Ennis and I are working together to try to get the ban on exports lifted. This ban was put in place in the mid-70s during the middle of the Arab oil embargo. And essentially what it is, it's a sanction, an internal sanction that keeps us from selling our oil on the world markets. At the same time, the president is trying to lift the sanctions for Iran. Well, that makes no sense. And so Joe and I are working together to get this ban lifted. It is a little bit of a political hot potato, and we're trying to reduce the temperature of that potato at this point in time. So we had a hearing in the Energy and Commerce Committee several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We had an RSC panel yesterday. We had five great witnesses come talk to us about the positive things that happen to American families and the American economy when you lift the ban on exports, and also the great things that happen from a national security and geopolitical perspective. So we are, Joe and I and several others are working on this, and my guess is we might get that ban lifted before the end of the year.
Well, my economics professor, or my teacher at A&M Consolidated High School, explained to me that when the supply of something goes down, the price is probably going to go up. So if we're taking these tanks of oil and we're shipping them offshore to other countries, does that tend to make the supply then diminish here and my price at the pump in Bryan, Texas go up?
No, we've got a really weird set of circumstances, and so bear with me for a minute while I lay this out. Today you've got two major prices of oil. You've got the price for Brent crude, which is priced on North Sea oil over in the UK and Norway, and then you have the West Texas intermediate price. Since we have a glut of oil in this country, we have seen the crude oil prices depressed. But the Brent price has stayed higher, typically about $8 a barrel higher than West Texas Intermediate. Our U.S. domestic refiners are pricing gasoline and diesel fuel and jet fuel as if they were using Brent crude as the input stock. And so that is causing the price of gasoline to be higher than what it would be if you were using West Texas Intermediate as your input price.
So why did they do that?
Well, because they can, because they're exporting 2.5 billion barrels a day of finished products.
Okay.
Again, it's refined from U.S. crude for the most part, but they're shipping this overseas. But since they're shipping overseas, they can price it based on Brent as an input price, because that's what's competitive in the world market and not use WTI. So what happens here, let's say we open up we lift the ban and we start exporting. What happens is the price of WTI, West Texas Intermediate, comes up because you're going into the world markets. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that happens is the price of Brent comes down. So and the two prices equalize. Well, what happens is the refiners that are producing our gasoline, jet fuel, diesel fuel, are then begin to price at the new lower input price. And so gasoline prices come down. Our domestic producers of oil and gas wind up with a healthier market because they're getting higher prices for oil. But at the same time, gasoline prices go down. So it's sort of a really cool win-win where you have greater economic opportunity in this country. because the energy industry is a huge job generator. At the same time, the price, the mom or dad taking their kids to school are paying less money to fill their tank.
Well, we like that idea, and we'll watch it closely. Obviously, we'd like to see, we're not used to having people laid off in the oil patch. It's been pretty good days for a while here, that's for sure.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, is, and we can talk about this next week, is from a national security perspective, if we're selling oil to world markets, that reduces the damage that that Russia could cause around the world.
Certainly. Exactly. We will do that. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning.
Good talk to you, Scott. I'd ask your listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
Yes, sir. Thank you.